and with the rejoicing, giving God the praise, the old hymns. I appreciate those old hymns tonight. Amen. They bless my heart. We're going to take our Bible tonight and go into the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. And we're going to go to the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah, look at some things about him tonight. We'll use this prophet and see some things that maybe we can pick up to help us. And he was a very strong man. And so he had his weaknesses just like everybody else does. And we'll see how he trusted God, how he depended on God, some things in his life that we can point out tonight that'll help us maybe. I pray tonight if we'll look at it from the depth of our heart, it will. We're going to the first chapter, and we'll stand. We'll read out of the first chapter, and we'll read together a few verses and pray, bring a message in from the Word of God. And we're going to use several places out of the book of Jeremiah tonight. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 4, he said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, give us wisdom and understanding to comprehend the Word of God tonight. Make it simple, Lord, that we'll get what we need and be strengthened and encouraged. Thank you for this people tonight that's come to the house of God on a rainy Sunday night. Lord, when so much going on around in the world and in, Lord, so many things that might be to hinder the saints of God. And Lord, keep us from the church house. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll put a special blessing upon those who's taken time to come to the Lord's house. Those who are sick and could not come, touch them. Lord, I will give you the glory for what you're going to accomplish. I pray, God, you'll put in our hearts a desire to stand up and be counted more than we ever have. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Now, look in this first chapter and point out two or three things about it. First of all, I want to talk about Jeremiah's start. Everybody has to have a start. Amen. He got started. Amen. He got started. Now, some folks have never started, but there's a few of you got started. Thank God for those who got a start. And we look at this, Jeremiah, and I always use this lots of times to people when I'm dealing with them, especially about abortion. It seems this world's all mixed up. It can't figure out, you know, where the pawn of a living soul is made. But I want to show you something tonight out of the Word of God. Simple, we're not going to spend time on that. Just want to show you, first of all, his start. The start of Jeremiah. Said in verse number 5, God speaking, and this is the voice of God speaking to Jeremiah. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly." Now, that lets me know that human life is formed of God. Amen. Man gets the credit for it, talks about it. And there, at the point of conception, that is the point tonight that a soul is developed. And brother, we'll look at this thing, God forms them, and from that we'll see we are all formed in the womb. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I ever was, God knew me. Before you ever were, God knew you. And I look at this thing tonight, and I see all these and how they can't get settled on when a child, you know, it's nothing in the world but murder. We've said it over and over and over. I mean, I'm speaking, I'm blue in the face. People don't pay no attention. But we're saying tonight that we know that that abortion is murder, taking the life of a human being. And they're just as important, amen, as anybody else. I will say this, at least one thing about it, they go to be in the presence of God, amen. And I believe the voice of those babies are crying out. I looked at that They get up and scream bloody murder, and they talk about the 6 million Jews that are killed, and 30-something million babies been killed. I may be wrong on the numbers. It's way up there. Since they said it's all right and legal, and man don't have the right to make it legal. But God said to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, I knew you before you got here." He's made excuses. Verse number 6, he said, "Behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child." And he's making excuses for his start. But he got a start. And he gave him some things and challenged him with it. In verse 7, he said, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." I love Jeremiah. I look at his book all the way through it. You'll find things that'll bless you, strengthen you, encourage you. You'll find how that God used him mightily for the Lord. He's called the weeping prophet. We'll talk about that a little later. But as we look down in verse number 8, he gives Jeremiah some things, and he could see ahead. God can see ahead. God sees the end from the beginning. Amen. And I'm sure Jeremiah was already disturbed, because he's saying, "Hey, I'm just a child." He's making excuses, and he ain't got started yet. Amen. God ain't got him on his feet good yet. Amen. And he's worried. He's troubled. He's concerned. And God said, "Don't say you're a child. Hey, I'm big enough, God, to help you. Whatsoever I tell you to say, you're going to say it. And whatsoever I tell you to do, you're going to do it. And you're going to be effective with it." And effective is what God's saying. And he said, one thing about it, Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. I wouldn't have got every preacher could get a hold of that. I believe we've got congregations that preachers are afraid of the congregation. They're afraid of what people might think. Some of you are not started for the Lord like you ought to because you fear what somebody might think of you or say of you if you pass out a tract or witness to somebody. They may classify you as, you know, an old fogey or strange or something. But I got news for you. God already said you're peculiar. Amen. You're a peculiar people. Amen. And so might as well just accept it. He said, "Be not afraid of their faces." He said, "For I'm going to be with you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to be there with you. Every time you need something, I'm going to be there." What a promise God made. And brother, he says that to you and me out of the New Testament. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He also told us he'd supply our need according to all his riches in glory. Whatever we need, he's going to give it to us. Verse number 9 said, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth." Amen. Jeremiah never been anything or done anything till God touched him. Amen. You see Jeremiah's start tonight? He got started right. God laid his hand on him. God gave him some good encouragement. God put him out to work and go forth, and then he laid his hand on him. He touched my mouth, and he said, "And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." I read in the Word of God, and I had a hard time with that many years ago, and God said, "You don't, when you put before the councils, don't think what you're going to say," because he said, "When you get there, God's going to give you what you're going to say." And I found out that to be true. Now, years ago, I didn't rely and lean on that so much. And you know, you tell somebody, if you're going to have a meeting to talk to somebody, and I tell you, you'll do it this way. You'll say, "I'm going to tell them this, and I'm going to tell them that, and I'm going to mention this, and I'm going to mention that." And if it's something you have to do and your wife's around, she'll say, "I want you to tell them this, and I want you to tell them that." And you may tell your wife the same way, "I want you to tell them this, I want you to tell them." But you know what? When you get there, it's a whole different story. Amen. Things just come. It's best just go ahead and let God take care of it. Pray and seek the face of God. And that's what happens even in preaching. And I found that out to be true down through the years. I'd sit down and try to figure out which way I'm going to go, what I'm going to say. But when I get there, it just changes all around. And God flips it. Amen. He'll put the end of what I thought up toward the front and put the front of what I thought down to the end. Sometimes put what I've even thought way out in the pasture and have to give it some other time. Amen. God knows what he's doing. And so he laid his hand on him. Now he gave him a challenge in verse number 10. He said, "Here's what's going to happen, Jeremiah." He said, "Don't worry about their faces up there. And I've done touched your mouth as well you speak." He said, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations. I've given you a job to do. I've set you over the nations. That's exactly what God's done for the church tonight too. He's laid his hands on the church. He's put us over the nations and over kingdoms, he says. And here's what he wants you to do, Jeremiah. Here's what God wants us to do, church. He wants us to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. And you've got to do that before you can ever do the other two things. And that is to build and to plant. We're trying to build sometimes when we need to root out. We're trying to sow corn and put corn in a field that's still got stumps in it. And we got to get rid of the stumps and the roots and the rocks. And God wants us to go in, and he tells Jeremiah, I'm going to be with your mouth, I'm going to speak, and that's what's going to God's going to do. He's going to root out and to pull down and destroy with the words of his mouth. And so God give that. So we find in chapter 1, Jeremiah's start. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, and we'll find something else about Jeremiah. And we're going through the book of Jeremiah some to see a little bit. And as we get into Jeremiah chapter 6, I want us to go to verse 15. When we get to verse 15, not only do we see Jeremiah's start in chapter 1, but in chapter 6 we see Jeremiah's stand. Amen. God teaches us in the book of Ephesians that when you've done all to stand, stand with your loins girded with the whole armor of God on, that you might be able to fight and withstand the fiery darts of the devil. But now he said in chapter 6, verse number 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Now you got to remember that Jeremiah is living in a time when people are abominable. They have walked away from God. They've forgotten God. They have forsaken God. It's a wicked time. All throughout the scriptures you find wicked times. As it were in the days of Noah, so it talks about that's the way it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we find wickedness from Genesis to Revelation. All the way through, man has gotten further and further down. And I realized this, and I got to thinking about this about 2 days ago, and I sat in my office and studying and reading the Word of God, and it squeezed my heart so bad that God began to touch me, and my mind began to wonder on these things. And I remember when I first started preaching, and when I first years ago started, how that people used to take a stronger stand for God than they do today. And brother, just little by little, just a little slight here and a little slight there, and just giving in just a little bit here, just a wee bit over there. I'm not talking about changing overnight. We haven't changed. The church hasn't changed overnight. It's changed over a period of years, over a period of centuries. You go back and read, and I read after some of these old preachers, and they stir my heart. Matter of fact, I love to read after them old preachers. They seem to do more for me than the modern ones today. Amen. They got a different attitude. And brother, they was with God and walked with God more. I like to go back and get some of them old fellas. I don't understand how they were so deep in the scriptures. We're supposed to be smart folks today. We're supposed to know a whole lot. We've been to schools and we've got colleges and we got professors and they can teach us things. But I go back and get them old men, begin to read after them, and I look at that and I said, where in the world did they get that? And boy, it begins to bless my soul, begins to stir my heart. Hey, they were back yonder when they didn't have nothing to entertain them, didn't have nothing to take up in their mind. They studied the Word of God, and they knew what studying was. In our modern day, we don't know what studying is. We don't study the Word of God. We try to take what somebody else has said. We don't meditate on the things of God like we used to. I just love to take the Word and meditate on it. And so I've seen them change. Brother, it bothers me and it disturbs me. And I got to thinking as I begin to see things that I've watched in my day, little by little. And I really didn't realize some of the things that we have seen 50 years ago are different today, because it took such a little gradual change. That's what the devil does. He takes a little bit away from us all the time. And we need to come back to the place that Jeremiah was told here. Now look at this and finish it. He said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay or no. He said, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Why even watch people today? And they come out in public, and here's just one little area I think about. They come out in public with hardly not enough clothes on, and it's sickening sometimes, and they don't even blush. I mean, if I wore what some of these folks wear, I would blush. Amen. The blushing is gone. We've hung our harps in the willow trees and seem like we're not ashamed of anything anymore. The shame is gone. And so we look at it. Now let's go a little bit further. In verse 16, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Now, I want to tell you something. Here's one little area I've noticed has happened, and it's not just happened around in our local area. But there used to be a time that gospel music was good and strengthening and encouraging, and it used to really feed your soul and touch you. Now I hear people talking and singing these songs, and they sound like love songs. They sound like honky-tonk songs. And they're taking a world connotation. I mean, they're going after the world and sounding like, why, there's things that they're singing today. And I had never been in a bar room. I don't know nothing about it, but I do know some of the music that comes out of the bar room. I hadn't lived that sheltered. I don't listen to it. I don't cotton to it. Don't run after it. And I don't like it, despise it. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I've heard enough about it to know what's going on. And as I listen to it and hear some of our gospel singing today, it's just like, you know, some of the people that used to write good gospel literature and good gospel songs and sung from the depth of their heart and could raise the voice and raise the roof and give God the glory and the praise and cause people to shout. Now I listen at it and I say, that don't stir my soul none. But it seems like it does theirs. For some reason they got in another world. But something's happened to our good gospel music. Not only just in our radios, but I'm talking about the big folks, the big folks. I'm talking about those big groups that used to go across the country. Why, I listen to some of them, amen. And and they're making them put them into little things and skits like, you know, there's something's going to happen every day. And they take the glory of God. I mean, they want to magnify man and magnify music and not glorify God. And it bothers me. And so we've seen them slip away from it. But he said to Jeremiah, he said, I want you to tell them. He said, I want you to stand in ye in the ways. So we find tonight his start in chapter 1. In chapter 6, we find his stand. What's he doing? He's standing in the ways of God. He's standing in the old paths, standing there, getting rest for his soul. And doing, not only is he standing there, but he's walking in them paths. Oh, to God tonight be the glory. To God be the praise. Amen. And I want to give God the praise for being able to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for God tonight. Don't you? I want to give him glory. I want to give him honor. So we find his stand. We find his start. Go to chapter 10. Quickly, I'll just give you these and we'll go home. In chapter number 10, and we'll look tonight in verse number 12. We find Jeremiah's start. We find Jeremiah's stand. And now in chapter number 10, verse 12, it said, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. He said, when he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. We found Jeremiah's start. We found Jeremiah's stand. But here tonight, we find Jeremiah's strength. He's put his strength and trusted God, the Creator. I believe tonight we need to come back to that. There used to be times in our churches when men and women would pray and seek the face of God, and God would bring conviction over the sinners in the community. He'd touch the old drunkard, and the drunkard couldn't drink his drink. He had to find him an altar somewhere and get right with God. We don't see that happening anymore. It's not that God's lost power. It's not that God can't do it. It hasn't made God unable to do it. But what's happened is we have not put our strength in the one tonight that can change things. God help me tonight. I want to get to where I depend on him for strength. He is my strength tonight. Is he your strength? He's mine. I give God the praise tonight, knowing that he is my strength, and I trust him with all my heart and with all my soul. I give him that glory and that honor. Amen. And lift him up and exalt him above all. I give him the praise. Amen and amen and amen. I thank God for his strength. And on through Jeremiah. I just picked out those two verses. You can get a lot more. But he's saying, hey, I'm trusting. I'm depending on the one who's made heaven and earth. I'm trusting the one that can make the vapors come up off the waters and make the clouds roll in and the rain come down. I'm trusting the one that sustains and keeps the universe rolling. He said, he is my strength. So I believe tonight we ought to have a strength in God and depend on God for everything. I want to put all my strength in him, don't you? All my hope in him. He is my strength. Without him, I can do nothing. Amen. But with him tonight, God said we can do all things. Amen. Through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Amen. He is our strength. Amen. I have no strength. I'm as weak as water. But I'm glad, thank God, he can do with me and do with you what we could even think or say. Amen. Think on these things. He told Jeremiah, he said, I'll give you things to say you don't know what to say. I'll give you things to do that you don't know how to do. Amen. The times that I went down through life's journey and I thought I couldn't do this and I've worried. There's been nights, there's been many times in my life that I had to face something, maybe preaching somewhere the next day, maybe having to do something tomorrow, make a strong stand about something tomorrow the next day. And I've gone to bed, and I know you have. And you're worried about it. You said, oh, I don't want to have to face tomorrow. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me strength. Help me along this journey. Help me with these problems. Help me with these things. And then the next day, maybe go. And I do that on Saturday night. Saturday night's always a big bad night to me. Amen. I go to bed on Saturday night and I'm saying, Lord, I'm scared to death. I don't know what I'm going to preach tomorrow. And I don't want to just be up here rattling. I don't want to be up here being a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I want you to get something from what we say. Lord, you know how to take that book and open it up. You know how to dig out the nuggets. You know how to dip us out a portion. You know how to give us something that'll refresh us and encourage us and strengthen us. And Lord, I pray you'd help me wake up through the middle of the night. And I'm saying, Lord, this morning's one of them mornings. I woke up in the middle of the morning and before daylight and I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach? Listen, I didn't even know what the Lord wanted. I tell you, you hear me sometimes say, I've got about four or five sermons, can't hardly wait to preach them. Somehow, before I ever get them preached, they get gone. I don't understand all that. But maybe God's giving me them sermons to help me. And so then sometimes I'm just as dry. I mean, just dry as a bucket can be with nothing in it. I want you to know tonight, brother, I have to search the face of God. And I say, Lord, this morning, what do you want? And I got up and I went to one place of Scripture, went to that place of Scripture, went to another place of Scripture, went to another place, and I'm sitting there just to try my best to cram something. Lord, give me something. Give me something. Amen. Right before I left the house, right before I put my coat on to come out the door, God gave me the message that I was supposed to preach this morning. And I preached it and didn't have a bit of trouble preaching it. Amen. And so I looked at it. I went the same way back to the house this afternoon. Sit down there and all I could do is doze. Doze. And I get up, give me something to drink, walk up and down the hall. And I said, Lord, I'm dry as a bucket. I got to have something. These people got to have something tonight. Spread the table. Amen. I mean, sometimes we go to McDonald's. Sometimes we go to Burger King. Sometimes we go to a Taco Bell. But every once in a while, we get a full first-class restaurant and get a full meal. And I say, dear God, give us a meal tonight. Give us something from the throne of God. Brother, I'll tell you, were you having any time or not, I am. I see you. Why, it wasn't until 10 minutes till 5 this afternoon that God said, I want you to preach this on Jeremiah. And I began to look at it. And amen. Run out of time before I got it all picked out in the Scriptures, and the Lord's in it now, and I appreciate it. We see Jeremiah's start. Thank you, Lord. You give me a start. And I can say like Jeremiah, you've touched my mouth. You've helped me. And you've helped me not to be afraid of their faces. You've helped me to tear down and to build up and to plant. And Lord, thank you. You've helped me to stand. And Jeremiah stood, and I've been standing, and you've been standing. And it's by the grace of God that we are standing. And it's by the grace of God that we'll keep standing. Nay, I pray that we stand till we draw our last breath, or till the rapture takes place and we get called out of here. Hallelujah. Whichever one takes place first. And you have these old cars, and they'll say, I don't know what the warranties are on new cars now. I really don't care. Not planning on getting one, but I'm thinking about it. This, what they say, 50,000 miles or 50,000 or 5 years or 50. I think they're longer than that on some of the things now. But 5 years or 50,000, whichever one takes place, the graveyard of the rapture. I want to stand and keep a plugging at it till Jesus comes. Praise God, I want to be a devil disturber. I want to make him mad and upset him. I want to keep him moving and motivated. Amen. I know when I do, he's going to fight me more, but I want to stay in the gap. I want to keep a standing. And when you view my body, amen, you don't go around and say, hey, one thing about it, he stood. Amen. Wouldn't that be good for God to say that and the people to say that about everybody? He didn't give in and give up. He didn't quit. I'm telling you, when the rapture takes place, wouldn't it be good to nudge somebody and by the elbows, you go up and said, thank God you didn't quit. You stood, and now look what it's done. Glory to God. I mean, have yourself a good time. Now listen, we find that he had tonight a stand. He took his stand. He had a strength. His strength was in the Lord. Now let's turn over, please, to chapter 18 of the book of Jeremiah. In chapter 18 of the book of Jeremiah, and when we get to chapter 18, we want to look at something. We'll just read chapter 18, verse number 1. He said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And he said, in there I will cause thee to hear my words. Sometimes God got to get us exactly where he wants us. This time he wanted Jeremiah be at the potter's house. When you get down to the potter's house, amen, suppose he had decided he went to Walmart, he wouldn't have heard from the Lord. Amen. He said he got down to the potter's house. Here's what happened. He said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. I love to watch people make pottery with their hands, don't you? It's fascinating to me. That and glass blowing. I don't know why, but I just love to see that. I've always went to them little places and to these little places. I like to watch that. And my kids, every time I took them to them places, they didn't like glass blowing. They didn't like pottery. They like to ride the rides. And I get so aggravated at them. And I said, hey, I don't get. And now I'm so old and, amen, don't get to go to them places. And, you know, I can't sit long enough to watch them anymore. But I'm telling you tonight, amen, it always fascinated me. And he said in verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, now look at this. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And then he goes on to do, and now look at verse number 11. I want you to see this. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah. Now we find his start. We find his stand. We find his strength. And now we find Jeremiah's story. He's going to tell us something. He's going to speak in verse 11. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah. And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And God goes on to tell him some things to do. Now, Jeremiah's got a story. You get a good start. Take a good stand and get your strength in the right shape. It won't be long. You'll be able to speak and give a story. Amen. It works that way every time. Old Jeremiah told the story. Now just to hurriedly go on, go to chapter 23. When we get to chapter 23, we'll see something here in Jeremiah chapter 23. And notice this. This goes right along with his strength and so forth. He said, behold, in verse 5, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now that righteous branch is the Lord Jesus. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now this is Jeremiah's story. He's got a story he's telling. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's the Lord. He's got a story to tell. We've got a story to tell tonight. We've got a story to tell that Jesus Christ came into this world, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross of Calvary for every man and woman, boy and girl, went to the grave and on the third day rose up from the grave and ascended back into heaven, sit down at the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for all of us tonight. And one of these days coming back for us. We got a story to tell. I'm not ashamed of that story of you. Thank God for it. Now go back tonight, please, to chapter 20. When we get back to chapter 20 of the book of Jeremiah, we're going to go down to verse number 9, and we're going to see something else about Jeremiah. It said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I've looked at this world. I've seen this world and what it's doing and how it's going. Nobody cares. I know what Jeremiah's going through or at this particular time. Down through the years I've preached, every preacher's ever been worth the salt that went in his bread has been the same place I get into in this particular place. You preach and you preach and you preach and you preach till you're blue in the face and it seemed like nobody moves, nobody cares, nobody wants to change anything. They don't want to keep on going down the road. Have you done that with your children? You try to do everything you can with your kids. You talk and you talk and you talk and you tell them and you warn them and you tell them and you warn them and they just look at you and they'll say, yeah, yeah, and they go right back out and do the same old things that you commanded them and told them not to do and they go right back and get themselves in trouble. And this happens the same way with the church and with the preacher. Don't you know Jeremiah done the same thing? He preached. He'd go over here and preach. He'd go over there and preach. He'd warn them over here, and he'd warn them over there. And then he'd go back, and guess what? They wouldn't do it. He said, you know, I've had enough of this. I've got discouraged enough. I just think I'll just quit. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of listening or watching people just desecrate the word of God and move away from it and pay it no attention and take it of no avail and they'll just go on down life's journey. And Jeremiah said, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to quit. And he tried to quit and he got the fire burning in his bones. You know what I call that? Jeremiah got up and gone again. He said, and looked at him and said, I got to go preach. I say this is Jeremiah's surrender. Amen. All of us have to have a surrender. Sometimes I've had to surrender several times. When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing about preaching. I didn't. And God had called me in high school, but I hadn't. Before I got saved, I didn't know anything about that. I'd been saved a long time before God really dealt with my heart. And when I got on up, 4 or 5 years into being saved, God began to deal with my heart about preaching. I run from it. So I didn't know a whole lot about what's going on. I wasn't trying to get in the ministry. I was trying to get out of it. I wasn't trying to make myself as a volunteer. I was trying to run. I thought God had made such a bad mistake. I didn't want to get into that business of preaching. Amen. I just did not. But God put me into the thing. There's a time when God broke my will.
When God got me to the place and I had to say, Lord, here I am, I'll surrender. And I gave it up to him and started. And God began to help me. But there's been a few times I, like Jeremiah, wanted to quit. I got cold. I got frostbitten, if you will, spiritually speaking. I got at the place, that I didn't be, well, wasn't concerned about the things of God. And I got cold and said, I just think I'll slow down or quit. And every time, just like Jeremiah, there'd be a fire burning in our bones. And we have to get up and go. And many a time I've had to go back and re-surrender. Amen. God wants us to surrender. And when God surrendered him, got him to surrender, guess what? He went out doing the work of God. Now, I want to back up a verse or so. Let's go to verse number 5, or verse number 8 of this 20th chapter. Let's look at verse 8 for a moment. Now Jeremiah said, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. I was laughed at, made fun of, spoken ill about. And Jeremiah said, I wept. I want you to know tonight that we call that Jeremiah's sincerity. I'm glad that Jeremiah was sincere. I know you can be sincere and still be wrong sometimes. But looking at this thing, Jeremiah was sincere about what he done. And I take the ministry, I take preaching sincere. I believe it's one of the highest callings on the face of the earth. I'd rather be a preacher of the gospel than to be the president of the United States or any other country. I believe it's a higher position. Amen. I do not believe that the president in Washington, D.C. has a higher calling than the man of God does, because people have elected him to that office and God has appointed the preacher to that position. And I give God the praise and the glory. And when we look at it like that, it makes a difference. But I believe we ought to take the preaching and the ministry and the work of God and the preaching of the gospel tonight at a sincere position. Sincerely, we open the word of God. We find our strength, our hope, our help in this blessed book. And brother, we need to do that. And like going over what I said this morning, I believe that's why we need to be so stuck to the church and glued to the church that we wouldn't turn it in any shape, form, or fashion, but we'd get involved and stay there because God has given us an institution of higher learning. Amen. This is higher. The church house, brothers, a higher respect than any college or any Christian college or any seminary or anything. And you can say, I don't agree with that if you want to, but I want to tell you, God instituted the church of the living God to get men and women where they need to be. Brother, he's done it, and I count it a joy to be in the part of what God's done. I'd rather be the pastor of Bible Way Baptist Church as to be the dean of any high institution upon this earth. Amen. Or a principal of the school or anything. Thank God for the position. And I count it a sincere job. And I believe you can see his sincerity tonight. He had a good start and ended up right too, didn't he? Amen. I tell you what, a lot of people had a good start and end up wrong. But I want to have a good start and end up right. And I praise God for it. That's a little bit I want to say about Jeremiah. Amen. Got that at 10 minutes to 5. Heads bowed. Amen.